This weekend in the Gospel, our Lord reminds us of purity of heart. The Pharisees and scribes burden people with many external laws regarding ritual cleansing. And our Lord teaches them that it's not the external matter of health and hygiene that matters, but rather what lies in the heart. And he's very emphatic in saying that immorality comes from within, not from without. It's the heart that you must purify. Conform your heart to my will. Some accepted his teaching, some did not, as is the case today. The heart is so important because from it comes both good and evil in our desires. What is the heart? Well, the heart in Greek is called cardia. That's where the word cardiac arrest comes from. The heart is arrested or stops. Or cardiologist, one who studies the heart. Some years ago, I asked a medical professional who was a cardiologist, what's the heart? Explain that to me. He said, well, Father, the kidneys filter and the heart pumps. It's a marvelous pump. I kind of thought, well, that's true, biologically speaking, but is there not much more to the heart? And I wonder too about us in the West. Heart disease has never been so high. What aren't we doing, or what are we doing, that has caused our hearts to be so fragile in health at a physical level? And in the same vein, our hearts in the West also are fragile in a moral sense. We are very delicate people. The heart must be nurtured. And the heart has its own mode of knowing. The great 16th century mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal, in his Pensons, his book on thoughts, says basically the heart has reasons which reasons know not. In other words, there's a whole agenda of what happens in our heart that the head or reason is unable to fathom. And that's true. It's what we call intuitive knowledge. And as the head or the face is the manifestation of who someone is, the heart is the manifestation of where we're at, what's our thinking process. And with intuitive knowledge, because the mother is the heart of the family, she has, I think, a certain degree of intuition, inbuilt knowledge of what's happening and where people are at and where the children's needs are best met. So the heart has its own language, its own ability, and its own mode of operation as the seat of the emotions. Now, let's not fall into pop psychology of the 70s and Carl Rogers and Rogerian therapy and if it feels good, do it. That form of thinking has caused much harm. Nevertheless, the heart is the source of affectation or emotional response. One person who wrote much about that was Dietrich von Hildebrand, a very brilliant scholar and precise philosopher, who in the 60s penned a book called The Heart. The final focus of the book was the Sacred Heart. But in arriving at that last domain or chapter in the book, he talks about the heart at different levels. And I found this distinction he made most illuminating. He said, heartlessness is different to a heart that is filled with atrophy. Atrophy. Now, atrophy is a Greek word also, and it means a wasting away, atrophy. Incidentally, when you put an A in front of a Greek word, it makes it the opposite. Like the word for God is theos or theism. You put A there, it's atheism. So A before trophy or trophine, which is the Greek word to feed, means it's a lack of feeding. It's a wasting away. And he said that the heart was suffering atrophy at three different levels. It was wasting away at an intellectual level, at a social level, and at a level of misuse or disregard. And what he's simply saying is that our heart needs to focus on the matter at hand. Sometimes people tend to overly intellectualize matters and therefore talk about fixing something but never actually fix it, or talk about the problems in society at a sociological level but not do anything to rectify them or help them. People who walk the talk but don't actually, they're too much busy talking to actually do much walking. Then, of course, there's people who are very utilitarian. They like to be busy doing things, but they neglect their own. Someone like the plumber who's very busy looking after other people's taps, but his own backyard or kitchen has leaking taps everywhere. Sometimes we're overly busy so as to distract ourselves from doing that which we ought. Then, of course, is what we call stoic atrophy. When people tend to dictate to others, might makes right. This sometimes takes on a religious vein, when people are militant in their beliefs, so much so that they neglect the basic needs of people, such as we see at this present moment with the Taliban in Afghanistan. So we must be careful not to cause atrophy of the heart, as distinct to heartlessness. What's heartlessness? It's basically a dead heart, or a heart that's become cold and sterile. Think of a billabong. A billabong is a small pond of water that's cut off from the main stream. And a billabong, because it lacks fresh water, lacks life, and eventually becomes putrid, fetid, and decaying. Well, some hearts, sadly, are like that. They're cut off from works of charity. They sun themselves and become putrid and closed and begin to decay. What causes a heart to do that? Basically, addiction. When people become an addict, there's five big addictions out there that plague society, they become focused only on their needs. It's all about me, my wants. It might be to drink, porn, drugs, gambling, but it's all my needs and not those around us. People who are addicted lose control of themselves, like Gollum had become consumed by his love or passion of the ring. He was addicted to it, and therefore the ring owned him and controlled him. And that's the case with all addictions. The alcoholic thinks nothing other than the drink, his next drink and where it's coming from. That dominates his thought pattern, his desires of the heart, and his mode of operation. And then when that happens, people tend to suffocate, spiritually speaking, and their heart becomes alienated from the needs of others, sterile and putrid. So we need to have an open heart. And for people who are addicted, there's always hope. Hope can bring forth life. And the cause of hope, or the means by which hope is fostered, is prayer. We think about St. Monica, who prayed much for her son Augustine over many decades. She pursued him in prayer, physically and spiritually. And eventually his heart thawed. He gave up his addiction and grace entered his life. He knew much about the heart, which he talks about in his book called The Confessions. And he helps us realize that irrespective of where we're at, God's grace can penetrate every heart and therefore bring about a change. We might call it a change of heart, whereby the heart becomes enlightened and enlivened by God's grace. As Augustine once taught, our hearts are made for thee, O Lord, and they are restless till they rest in thee.